Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Nice day for a sea-doo. I know, obviously, parts of the country in lockdown, but it is definitely sea-doo weather. Get on board a sea-doo and discover why sea-doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. In fact, 30 degrees in Kenthurst, we're hearing here in Sydney at the moment, but wherever you're listening, hope you're enjoying it. We're, of course, live right across the finals into the grand final and available too via the Listener app. Thanks to sea-doo. It's been a wonderful year of NRL on Triple M with all these wonderful experts that we have, and this is how they've seen 2021 so far.
The start of the 2021 NRL season.
Midfield bomb from Moses coming down 15 out. Oh. Cedo gets it down. Mike Cedo has won the game for the Eels.
Penrith beat the Melbourne Storm 12-10.
Wow.
In one of the great club games.
Another unforced error there by the Manly number 9. And Dez is blowing up.
It's just not acceptable at this level. And yeah, we're out of shape at the moment. We need to fight it pretty quickly. It's a long season, a long way to go. So we'll dig our way out. You watch.
Got it away to Tommy. Oh, wow. Tommy's away again. Tommy. He's over the 40. Sub. He's over the halfway. Saab's with him. He gets it away to Saab. Bye. And Saab's going to run away and stick this right out of the post. Oh, Tommy, baby, where have you been?
Lockie, I think it's medial, and Kez, I think it's ACL. So,
Luke Keary, yeah. Such an integral part.
It's up to us to find a way. This is round 3.
Ah, Penrith, you've got to be so good to beat them. 24-6, 7 in a row, 22 regular season games in a row.
Cook goes to Reynolds. He goes to the line. Gets it away to Marshall.
Oh, what a ball.
Gets it to Benji Marshall. Over the 20 goes Benji. Flicks it back inside. Alex Johnson. Johnson scores. Oh, Benji Marshall. He's been in the time machine and he's wound back the clock.
Oh, look, butts off one. What a one-on-one count. He did it. He did it. He did it. It's the first time in 71 years.
Wow.
Josh O'Carr has got 6.
Wow.
Now, Melbourne aren't happy here with the centre, Tyrell Furuiono.
Ryan Pappenhausen has been illegally taken out of this game.
Straight off. Tyrell Furuiono sent from the field.
This is the new home of Rugby League Queensland. It's going to be called the Queensland Rugby League competition from now on because that's where everybody is.
They're doing everything they possibly can in the NRL at the moment. It's not an easy situation. And we can say a month, but we all think probably it's going to be a bit longer than that.
It took Joey to stand up and go and stick up for himself with a depressed fracture of the cheekbone.
It's a real shame because two of the best players in the game at the moment aren't going to feature in the finals. How the NRL didn't send Latrell off last night is the thing that's got me absolutely buzzing.
I absolutely love him and I was so frustrated at that point. He's just cost one of his good mates the rest of the season and fractured his cheekbone.
Pearce gets it and he has kicked it and he has sent the Newcastle Knights to the finals. Pappenhausen stepping, weaving, is Melbourne's biggest win over Manly in a final. This magnificent Melbourne Storm team is into the preliminary final.
Kelly, he fires a pass away to Fogarty. Fogarty gets the ball away to Herbert. He looks for, he's thrown it over the sideline. And that will be the ball game. What about the finish to this one?
Well,
Roosters 25, Titans 24.
Walker gets it away to Tarr. He got it away to Gagai. Gagai got out of the tackle, out of another one. And Tony Walker goes over right beside the post. Jerome Luai's knocked it on a dummy half. And that will be the ball game, my friends. South 16, Penrith 10.
Yes, indeed. That's last night. And, of course, all the NRL action live on Triple M this afternoon. We kick off again at 4 o'clock with Dan Ganane, who'll be in to call that sudden death game. Just before we move on to this Manly-Melbourne game, we haven't had the chance to ask this crew about the fact that the grand final is going to be at in Brisbane, which I absolutely think is a wonderful idea. Obviously, you do too, Gordy.
Yeah, well, there's no other option. Obviously, I think we said it about a month ago. I wasn't a fan of it going anywhere else but New South Wales or Queensland. I think both states and their fans deserve it to stay here, especially in these uncertain times. And I'm so happy, obviously, two games in Townsville last night, two games, I think, in Mackay next weekend, and then the remaining three games will be at Suncorp Stadium. So look out, Queenslanders, and get out there. And I think we showed in Townsville last night that that standard of football that was played last night, I think tickets will be snapped up fast.
Mm. What about you, Hoops? I'll ask Paul, but let's start with you. The grand final at Suncorp Stadium. I think if there's the only tiny, tiny little issue is that there's only 52 or 53,000 can get in a Suncorp. Apart from that, I think it's a great idea.
I'm a traditionalist. I like the grand final in Sydney when it can be played there. And obviously there's a contract for it to be played there for the next couple of decades plus. But in these circumstances, I think it's been a fantastic reward for a huge part of rugby league heartland, that rural Queensland, regional Queensland, and now the city of Brisbane gets the GF. And the fact that you can only get 52,000 in there, I understand you could get a bigger crowd if you took it down to Melbourne, but I'm more than happy with it for the people of Queensland to be rewarded, given how much they love the game of rugby league.
Absolutely, Paul.
Yeah, well, they couldn't take it anywhere else, really. Mm. So Melbourne was a long shot. I got no problem with being played there this year. I'm like Hoops. I think the game, this competition grew out of Sydney. I think sports are as strong as their history. So I think you need to continue to honour your history. And that's why I think the grand final, just from a symbolic point of view, should always be in Sydney. But clearly it can't be this year. So let it go to to Brisbane, and well done to them. Mm. The fact they paid $4 million for it to the NRL was a good job by the NRL to get them pay money. I don't believe all this propaganda that gets put around about Queensland people loving the game more than New South Wales. I think that's rubbish. The fact was, I don't think it, you know, last night.
I think we're starved of it more, Paul. You know,
That's fair call.
New South Wales is pretty, you get 9 games, so, mate, if you're a fan and your team's not there, mate, you can sort of go down the park and, you know, any sort of day in Sydney and you'll get a game of rugby league. And
but Gordon, that's true, but that's a bit of a myth too, because Parramatta fans, if Parramatta are playing Melbourne this week in Melbourne, Parramatta fans won't go across town and watch Canterbury play. You just don't do that. No. South fans won't go and watch the Roosters play if South are not playing in Sydney. So to sit down and say to people, well, there's always a game in Sydney every week for you to go and watch, that's what Queenslanders don't get about
New South Wales people.
New South Wales people grow up with their team.
What you don't get is everybody was a Manly, Redcliffe, you know, East Tigers supporter. And when the Broncos come in, it was like a divide. So some people went and supported the Broncos. Some people hate the Broncos. And I know that there are a lot of rugby league fans that don't want to support the Broncos, but they would support another team. That's why, I know it's Parramatta and I know there's 9 tribes or whatever in Sydney. We got one and it split up all the other 9. It'd be like if all those teams had to feed into one, not everybody's going to love that one.
I get that. I totally get that. But this narrative that I get that you're starved, but this narrative that New South Wales is sport and we've got 8 different teams, 9 different teams in Sydney every week to choose to go and watch them play. Just don't do that. You go and watch your team and that's it.
Mm.
Yeah, and the fact is, everybody told me how much Queensland deserved this and how much they've been waiting for it. It was last night a sellout? I didn't look like a sellout.
Mm.
Yeah, because it wasn't promoted.
It shouldn't have been promoted, Gordon. They had two.
I was games walking along
played.
The Strand.
They had two games played in a place we're told is the rugby league heartland.
Yeah,
I bumped into Matt Scott on the day of the game. I went for a walk with my wife. He goes, "What are you doing up here?" I said, "There's games." He goes, "What?" I said, "There's two games on here."
Please, tell him to buy a newspaper. Come on.
There was two games.
Well, because, Paul, I'm saying, because next week there's two rugby union games. Because it's not a club making money,
but God, people have forgot to promote your own argument. You're contradicting that's your point.
If you're such
a rugby league heartland, you shouldn't need promotion to know that the game is on. You shouldn't need promotion to sell out the stadium. Mm. You had a semi-final doubleheader up there and couldn't sell it out. So this rubbish that Queensland is somehow more deserving of games just doesn't swing.
All right, well, having said all that, we'll leave that there, but normally it is a great carnival atmosphere.
It took him
an
hour and 15 minutes to take the angry pills. Who was hiding them from him? Come on.
Paul, when people say, I'll say, how come if people on the Gold Coast need, I'm not picking on the Gold Coast, but if people say they need a team, and I say, well, there's only 9,000 watching them at the game, people will say, well, they've got so much to do up there. They've got beaches.
Yeah.
I mean, how many bloody beaches have we got in Sydney?
Yeah.
And theatres and restaurants.
I know.
Hang on. I'm not about to start picking on the Gold Coast, but now, no, I'll get the machete out and carve holes.
I'm with you. Like, yeah, no. People just adapt their argument to suit their purpose. Fact is, we've been told for years how much Queensland deserves. It's got the title final series up there, and so far two of the three games haven't been sold out.
In fact, I'm going to call it now. I reckon Queensland should have their own sin bin, and we have our own sin bin, right? So, Gordon, you can go home, mate.
Do you want to clip both? Do you want to clip both? Do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll get one to start at 9 and finish at 12, and one to start at 12 and finish at 3. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back and talk about Manly Melbourne as Triple M rocks the final.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. Of course, the finals started off on Friday night with Melbourne having a big win over Manly by 40 points to 12. And as we've said, Manly or Melbourne now get the week off. But let's talk about what this means for Manly, because Manly now have to play the Roosters, and if they beat the Roosters, they have to play South. So let's talk about Manly, 40 to 12. A lot of people, hoops, didn't tip Manly to win the game. However, I don't think they thought it would be 40 to 12.
No, it was a landslide, wasn't it? The Storm just picked them apart. They proved why they are September specialists. They clearly identified Manly's right edge where Morgan Harper was defending as a weak link. They sent traffic there early. They got early results. They just got so many big game season players. Like, there'd been some question marks around Cameron Munster. He had an infected knee. He'd had to go to hospital. He had some stitches. He was one of their best players. Brandon Smith, even with a is it fractured or it's not fractured? Even with that facial injury that he copped in the period that he was on the field, was an 11 out of 10 performance. They just know how to get it done in the big games. And look, I'll put my hand up here. I wasn't sold on Ryan Papenhuyzen. I know people said he was back after that win over the Sharks, but it was, I felt as though he wasn't quite there yet. But on the big stage, he proved he's well and truly right back to where he was at the beginning of the season. Great signs for Ryan and great signs for the Storm leading into another 80 minutes away from a grand final.
From a Paul?
I was just going to say, the real concern, I think, for Melbourne, Manly coming up to the playoffs is the fact that if they get through next week, they come up against South in the preliminary final, and South's left edge has been the most lethal all season. And they'll come up against, and when their right edge just got so horribly exposed the other night. So it's made for South to just cut them apart in that game. I don't know how they fix that. I don't know if Suley's back, if he's available to come back and fix that right edge.
He's available. He
might be the guy that they're going to have to go to, because Harper just got his pants pulled down, really, multiple times.
The other thing that Craig Bellamy showed, Gordy, was just what a genius he is in terms of how to nullify the influence of the best player on the opposition team. We haven't seen Tom Trbojevic contained like that all season. And I was watching the Matty Johns podcast during the week with Cooper Cronk, and Cooper spoke about how they game planned to shut down Jason Tomalolo in the 2017 grand final. And they worked out that legs tackling was the best way to go with him, because he was so strong and robust. You'd get bumped up off a lot of the time if you tried to go up high, and they employed similar tactics with Tommy.
They did the same to Fifita too, remember?
Yeah, and that's every big guy, mate. We all hated getting tackled around the legs, but for you to go around the legs when their knees are pumping and their hips, and if they can use their hips, it's a chance of you coming reeling back out of it. But he's a genius, Craig Bellamy. Like that, I've caught a lot of Melbourne Storm games, and I thought, because they've always got the foot on the accelerator. There was one player when they were going for the record that had played every game. That was Remus Smith. So we talk about the Roosters having injuries. They haven't had the same roster, Melbourne, but the way they go about their business is unbelievable. And I thought that they were going to fall off a cliff, like I thought. And I thought Manly, because Manly played them about a month ago. They had no footy. You know, they were a real chance of beating them. I thought Manly are a real chance. And they got their pants pulled down. It was unbelievable. They're simply just so well coached. He knows how to shut down your attack, and he knows how to get your points. He breaks your defense down, and it's just unbelievable the way they do it. And you've got to be professional the way they transition from attack to defense. it's unbelievable watching them.
You touched on the fact that Melbourne beat them a month earlier, but the Manly probably walked away from that game. This was a takeout from a lot of experts, the read from a lot of people, was that Manly would have walked away from that game on the back of 40% possession and on the back of a hell of a lot of errors and taken confidence and believe that if they did come up against the Storm again, end of season games, they do have the attacking strike power to be able to beat them. The biggest concern for Des will be that they didn't learn from their mistakes the first time around, because it was virtually a replica of what had happened
absolutely
a month ago, except the scoreline blew out even further.
41% of the ball, but they did complete 71%. So they were better.
Like, but 71% is not enough to beat Melbourne, and that's what I think Melbourne were at 90%, weren't they?
Yeah, 90. I think they were. Yeah, I think they'd only made one mistake in the first half. But that's Melbourne Storm. That's what you know. They don't. They're super consistent. When you go up against Melbourne Storm, they give you nothing. You know, like, mate, in attack, you're always going to start your set. They're going to, you know, squeeze the life out of you. You know, you feel like, you know, like they're a big snake just taking every breath out of you. You know, and that's what they've done, you know, since I've played against Melbourne Storm. You always feel like you're trapped. You always feel like you can't play footy. There's no freedom on the footy field, and they do it week in, week out.
But how do you, if you're the Manly camp here, boys, let's talk about Manly for a second, because they've had 40 put on them in a final, and now they've got a week, not quite a week now, to regroup and take on a Roosters side. We've spoken about them all year. They've got injuries to six or seven big-name players. But you know, whatever Rooster side turns up, they will give it 150%. Yeah. So how does this Manly side attack it?
I think this week's a tipping point for the Roosters. With that many injuries, I know they've been magnificent, but you can only go so far through the finals, and each week gets multiply, yeah, harder. Mm-hmm. I think this week will be the week that finds them out.
Yeah, the other issue compounding on top of that as well, Kenty, is the fact that it looks as though Sam Verrills is up looking at a couple of weeks suspended. So if he wants to try and get off that, he's going to have to fight that at the judiciary. And Siwa Taukeiaho only played, I think it was a couple of minutes last night, Gordy, and then was forced off, and he's got a leg injury as well. So
yeah, you think Verrills can't get off that? There was no slipping. He was standing up tall. He didn't change his body. And we all talk about, I think Kenty talks about it all the time, just change your body height. There was no change in body height. He didn't slip. He ran straight and hard, and he got hit straight on the beak. So I don't think you can defend it.
All right, boys, we've got plenty of things happening in Clubland. We haven't had a real opportunity to look at what's going on in Clubland. Where is the West Tigers after a dismal display for their final game of the season against the Dogs? So where are the West Tigers at? What is the backlash at the Doggies after the Adam Elliott affair? He will now sever ties with the Bulldogs. We'll take a look at what's going on in Clubland next as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Now, for the first time ever, the NRL Telstra Premiership Grand Final is at Queensland at Suncorp Stadium. Tickets on sale from next week and will be in high demand. Anyone interested in securing a seat is encouraged to join the NRL waitlist to be first to hear when tickets are on sale. So head to nrl.com/waitlist and register today if you want to see an NRL Grand Final. We've got Hoops, we've got Kenty, we've got Gordon Tallis and Maroon. So we're going to talk a little bit about West Tigers for all the wrong reasons again, because they finish off this regular season by getting absolutely smashed by the Bulldogs. For the Bulldogs, it was only their third win for the year, but certainly I think Tigers fans and financial members were entitled to think that the season was going to end a little bit better than that. It was an ordinary season to that point, Hoops, but then you throw that in and that's more than the bloody icing on the cake. That was woeful.
Yeah, it was diabolical, wasn't it, the performance against the Bulldogs? Look, I think if they'd gone out, the West Tigers, and either ground out, you know, a minor victory or at least been competitive and held their hands up, then the blowtorch probably wouldn't have been applied as heavily as what it has been. There was always going to be a review. Every club does a review of a poor season. And, of course, the football department always comes under the microscope. But, you know, there are two views here. There's a line of thought that some people are now starting to shift back towards having Michael Maguire remain at the club. that's certainly not the position that I'm taking. From what I've heard, I think that in all likelihood, Madge will be gone. Mm-hmm. I think they've...
Do you think that's the right decision?
I think it's an indictment on the board, Gordon, that they extended him in December of last year, gave him another two seasons, and then now here we are 12 months down the track and he's still got a full 2 years to go and they're shifting their position. But I do think it is the right decision from what I've heard out of the club. I just don't see how.
If they get rid of him, what coach wants to go there?
Well, thankfully they've got Tim Sheens, who's returned to the club in a head of football performance, coaching director, whatever you want to call it, position. So I think that Tim, in all likelihood, will probably take a far more hands-on role, and then they're going to go with, they'll probably go with a younger coach, be it a Cameron Seraldo, be it a Christian Wolf, whoever it is.
So hang on, can I just be clear here, Hoops? You're saying that you think this is the right way to go to move Michael Maguire on?
Look, we all love Madge, Anthony. Mm. You've had a lot to do with him. He's a good coach, Madge, right? And he works so hard and he is so passionate about everything that he does. But if there's an element of the way Madge approaches things that you can be critical about, it's probably his intensity. It's that everything is so full on all of the time. And as we saw in that documentary, Tales from Tiger Town on Fox League, I'm not sure that in this day and age, like you look at a Wayne Bennett and you look at some of the other good coaches, Bellier, like, yes, they're hard disciplinarians and hard taskmasters, but I'm not sure that they're a million miles an hour every millisecond of the day. And that's probably the one knock on Madge. And this is a tough conversation because, like I said, I like Madge. I genuinely believe that he can coach, but he's had 3 years and the results are the issue that he's got. The club has progressively gone backwards every season from 9th to 11th to 13th. The defence is persistently and consistently got worse. Yes, the game's changed. I think that's been to Madge's detriment because as much as the game's changed, he hasn't got the roster that's allowed him to adapt to the new changes, and that's why the results have been as poor as they have.
Another thing you touched on there, am I to understand that if Madge is asked to vacate the premises, there are 2 years to run on a contract that's going to be a handsome payday on some level?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if they do decide to go that way, they're going to have to pay him, I think it's somewhere in the vicinity of $800,000. That was the way that they devise the contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, getting back, I know we've touched on it here with Gordy, so we look at a bloke who has had success at the club, Tim Sheens, comes back in, oversees a younger coach, but still it's, you mentioned the name Cameron Seraldo or Christian Wolf, both they have good jobs now.
They can't walk into a club like that. Not with no experience. That needs It needs a Craig Bell. Like, it needs someone like that.
Well, but what's Tim Sheens, Gordy? If you've got him already on the payroll, and this is why they went and made that move.
Well, then
I think they realised that there were some challenges around.
But
Madge.
Why doesn't he sit over Madge? Why doesn't he sit
over
Madge?
Well, maybe they may well.
He is. That's the current plan. Mm.
That's the status quo at the moment.
I think is this right in me saying here, boys, Hoops, if you're a West Tigers supporter or even a Bulldog supporter or even for that matter a Cowboys supporter, as a supporter you are going to have to accept that this is not a quick turnaround.
Absolutely.
Mm.
It's not a quick turnaround.
Well, you've already accepted that because it's been 10 years since they've made the finals.
And now it's all going to start
backwards
again.
The last, like, I was probably absolutely prepared to invest in Madge. And I still believe in him now. But the review that's gone on, and I know people say, oh, hang on, you can't take feedback from players that haven't won anything and don't know what success looks like. And that's a fair point. But when you've got a playing group with a form line that's similar to what happened at South Sydney, Anthony, clearly they need a circuit breaker.
But
hold on. But if someone's not having a go, listen, I called that game. I sat on the sideline. I would never take advice from someone that doesn't have a go. And I don't care. And I've been beaten and I'm not all about the scoreboard, but the West Tigers, I wouldn't want to coach that place. The way those players turned up, it actually wasn't even on Madge because it wasn't the plan. It was their effort. And that's what they had to bring. So if they get rid of the coach, they're saying that's okay.
Gordon, they played
like
a side.
So that behaviour No, so that behaviour's good. So that's what West Tigers are going to say. Hey, boys, you got your wish. So if you don't like it again, do that again. Well, and there'll be another coach gone.
They played like a side that knew that there was a bit of blood in the water around the coach. Mm. They didn't try. They were not having a go for 80 minutes.
No,
to have the Bulldogs have averaged 14 points a game for the last couple of seasons, and they put 38 to blot on the Tigers.
And they had 50-odd tackles in the first 5 minutes on the Bulldogs line. So it wasn't one of those, you know, where there's a couple of freak tries to the Dogs and the game and there's nothing to play for. They had all the ball.
They never looked like bursting a grape. Mm.
Well, I tell you what, you must be feeling a bit funny if you're young Hastings or even Oliver Gildart. You're coming out here from the UK and you don't even know who the coach is going to be.
Well, you do. You they haven't made a decision yet. Mm. Mm. I think there's obviously many levels this has got to be considered on. The other part is whether there was a lag in the salary cap and the roster that Maguire's had to deal with. Like it's only this year that he's finally got Russell Packer and those and Moses Mbai off his salary cap. And look,
yeah, but he did oversee the signings of James Roberts, Joey Leilua, every player that has signed James Tamo, all the players that have been brought to the club in the last couple of years, Madge has ticked off on, and they haven't been able to get the job done for him. Further to that,
worst thing is they're not looking better. They don't look like they're playing any better. And to Gordy's point, there are games where, and this is, you know, either how much do you hang this on the coach, where they just don't seem to have a crack. Like, you look at what they did against Melbourne earlier, only a month ago. It was embarrassing. Mm. It really was embarrassing that a professional 66-16. team, a professional team goes out and has that many points put on them. And it's not like they had all these injuries and all these problems that they had that they couldn't overcome. They went out, they kicked off, and from set one, Melbourne just dominated them. And that's the concern. But, like, what you've got, Tigers got to figure out, is that the coach or the players?
Look at the Souths game the following week at Leichhardt Oval. It was,
same thing.
It was nearly 30-0 after the opening 40 minutes, and then Souths just clicked back into second gear.
But the other thing I sit there, and I don't know how to read this, is when you watch the Tales of Tiger Town and you watch Maguire in the box when the game is being played, and he will sit there and he will call what the opposition are about to do, and then they go and do it and score. And a couple of times, and it only happened a couple of times in it, but he'd go, "Oh, come on, Joey, I told you about that," or about another play. Now, if he's coaching the players during the week, this is what they'll come at you, and the players are then unable to stop it. How much of that sits on the coach?
Mm.
I know, he's not totally absolved of that, because part of coaching is to not only make them aware that this is what's going to happen, but also show them how to stop it and then stop it. And if they're not stopping it, that will come back on the coach. But by the same token, there is also an element there that clearly they've got the wrong players in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And who does the review on the people that are doing the review?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Gordon. Because, and there's been a lot of criticism around the fact that they're letting, you know, the CEO, Justin Pascoe, is under enormous pressure at the moment. He's presided over 6 years of failure ever since he got his feet under the desk. James Tedesco leaving the club. They've never made the finals. They've sacked Jason Taylor, the Ivan Cleary debacle, and then now it looks as though they're going to sack Madge after they gave him a 2-year extension not even 12 months ago. So he's under enormous pressure. He's the one leading the review. Head of football, Adam Hartigan, is also helping him. But then what else emerged over the course of last week? We were told it was only those two. Then we find out that on the Zoom meetings with the players, Gordon, that the chairman, Lee Hadjipantelis, is on there as well. Tim Sheens is also on there. Another board member, Danny Stapledon, is also on there. So clearly the review is more wide-ranging and involving more people than we thought. But to your point, Gordy, it should be independent. They should have got fresh eyes in and an independent voice, not an internal review.
All right, boys, let's move from the West Tigers to the Bulldogs. Now, the Bulldogs finished the season with a win, but only won 3 games all year. And there's a problem again around Adam Elliott. Well, it's not a problem anymore because he will be parting ways with the Bulldogs. Firstly, what does this mean for the Bulldogs moving forward? Because apart from all the shady and dodgy activity that may be around Adam Elliott, he's a good player.
He's a good player, yeah. He can play.
There's a recommendation.
Yeah. Sweet Home Alabama. No, yeah. Look, there's too much. You're like, it's, you know, and I think the Dogs have been a proud club, and I don't like anybody losing their job, but there's a standard that you got to set, and if they keep on breaking the standards, well, it's simple as that. You can't, you know, you can't wear the jersey. And, you know, they talk about culture. Well, culture is what you walk past. So it probably would have been a tough decision because I think he does have a go. I think he's a really good player. But off the field becomes a distraction, and you can't have that in your organisation.
He's got three pretty big strikes against him. I'd say two big strikes and one minor one. I thought the last one was fairly minor, to be honest. But there was a kickback from sponsors about it. Not the major sponsor. Arthur Lawney's come out and supported Adam and is upset that the club has parted ways with him. But certainly immediately after it happened, a number of sponsors contacted the club and said, what are you going to do? The club didn't rush to a decision. But it's about, to Gord's point, it's not about punishing him for what he did. It's about what you're prepared to accept at the club. Yeah. And while he brings pretty good football to the club, the fact is he also brings other behaviours that it's just, you can't continue to tolerate it. When you're the last place team and you are trying to drive certain standards and certain levels that you want everybody to reach at, you can't have one of your better players just going rogue and behaving the way he wants to behave, because it's two steps forward, one step back, as long as you do that. And the trick for the club, and this is, you know, the trick for the club is sometimes you say, you know what, he's too good a player to let go. We need all the talent we can. And that's the case. And some clubs have really gone backwards in recent years when they've tried to do that. But by the same token, if you're going to try and build a club for the long-term future and you're going to have standards of behaviour that we look at the Roosters in Melbourne, who are two benchmarks for how their culture within the club, they have standards. They let players go. They handle much more discreetly than what this has been handled, but this, unfortunately for the Bulldogs, was beyond their control. But when they do have players, and they have had them in the past, but who don't buy into what they're about, they just subtly move them on.
Mm. I wonder what sort of a club will throw him a lifeline, because there's two ways, I guess, it could go here. One is that he does get thrown a lifeline by one of those clubs like the Roosters or Melbourne, where he gets the coach. You don't see players at that club. This is where players get rebuilt. Or alternatively, does he go to a club that is more quote unquote desperate for a player?
I think he'll go wherever he can get a start. Mm.
Do you think he'll get a start?
Oh, yeah, I'd say he probably will.
Yeah, there's always a look.
Yeah, someone will. Yeah.
Coaches think they're faith healers.
Yeah.
They think they do.
They're snake charmers.
Yeah, come to my club and we'll get him right. And it's happened. It happened. You look at some players, they just go from club to club to club. And every time they arrive at a new club, the coach is promising he'll get him right.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen. And when they mess up, they go one or two ways. Someone will offer him something. It's just whatever he's available for. That's the fact. It's a now a conversation about money. What's he prepared to pay for? If he's not prepared to pay for a wage that's probably less than what he's actually worth from talent point of view, which is what he'll probably be offered, then he goes to England, plays over there where he'll get paid more and he'll have less invasion in his life and probably be happier.
Okay, boys, we'll take a break from all that and we'll come back and wrap it up with I Call BS. We will say goodbye to you, Paul, and stepping in off the interchange bench is the Triple M Flavour of the Month, the big fella, James Graham, as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And, of course, it's a beautiful day here in Sydney and hopefully right up and down the New South Wales, Queensland coast, where we love our rugby league before we love anything else. We do it thanks to Sea-Doo. Discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. But let's now do this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes... I Call BS.
So you know how this works by now. The guys have just got to find something that they've just had about enough of. It doesn't have to be rugby league based. It can be rugby league based. We've had traffic being an issue more recently. Matters on the domestic front, matters with children. Paul, would you like to kick off our I Call BS?
Yeah, I want to call BS on some scheduling in the NRL at the moment. Look, I don't know if we've thought about this too much, but certainly I think the NRL need to get back to the to the meeting room and fix this. In 2 weeks' time, when the preliminary finals played on the Saturday night, it's going to be a Saturday night game. It's the Melbourne game. So whoever they play, whether it be Penrith, Parramatta or Newcastle, they're going to go up head-to-head against the AFL Grand Final.
Right.
Saturday night. Now, and it's going to be a big AFL Grand Final. It's the Melbourne Demons in their first chance at shot at a Grand Final in more than 50 years now. The last one was in 1964.
Wow.
They're up against the Western Bulldogs, which is another big Melbourne club. The fact is, I think the NRL need to just have a real look at the scheduling around this game and push it earlier in the afternoon so they're not going head-to-head. Put it on in Saturday afternoon rather than Saturday night. If they put it up there and the broadcast revenue is so important to these to the sport, if they put it up against the AFL Grand Final, it's really going to struggle. And
it'll be a carve-up.
It'll be a carve-up. I think the NRL really need to look at this and just put it on earlier in the day.
Yeah, sounds like an easy fix.
Well, they've just got to do it. I know there's a... Well,
but Andrew Abdo was quoted in the paper, wasn't he, saying that, you know, oh, no, we're not going to be dictated to by other sports.
Well, it just doesn't make sense. So I'm sure if they got the two broadcasters on the phone and spoke to them about it, they would actually say, look, we need to change this because it's just... It would
set up a cracking weekend of 42 for all genuine sports fans, wouldn't it? In that you can watch the league first, and then if you want to have a look at the AFL, well, you can parlay into that.
Well, the fact is, look, Melbourne struggled to get some footing. The Melbourne Storm struggled to get footing in Melbourne anyway. To put them up against the Bulldogs and the Demons in a grand final, it's just going to kill them. Even Melbourne people won't be watching that because it's generally their second sport. I just think that the game needs to make a common sense decision and reschedule this.
Okay, it makes sense. And 1964, did you say, Paul? That's 1964. That's before I was born. What did the winning goal kicker win an E.H. Holden Premier or something like that with a radio in it? That's so long ago, isn't it? That's before I was born.
I think it was called a wireless.
A wireless, so E.H. Holden Premier with a wireless in it.
Hoops, tape deck.
Yeah, the tape deck. Cartridge player.
You know what we saw on the way to work today, Anthony?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We saw an old panel van.
Right.
Yeah.
Holden or a Ford?
No, it was a Ford.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Which they're pretty rare. I always used to like the Sandman. I know you're a big fan of those. And they've even got a modern version of those these days if you still want to rock one of them.
Now, here's a trivia question. What do you call the Ford equivalent of a Sandman?
I asked this morning, and I don't know the answer.
Do you know, Paul?
No, I don't.
The answer is a sundowner.
A sundowner. Good. That's right.
Hey, when the sun down, when the guy. Yeah. What happens when the sun's down?
You want to call BS or?
Yeah, I'll call BS. Oh, sorry, you go, Gordy.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to call BS. You know how you go out and you have a meal? So I was on the Gold Coast last week. I caught up with Nathan Brown and his beautiful wife, Tanya, and you go out, and I got one of those wives that always want to share the meal. So they basically pick two meals, and I say, oh, let's share. And basically, you don't want it, but she picks the two meals. And then you get to the end of it, and if she likes her meal, she eats all of hers, and you got to be left eating a rubbish meal. So then I ordered a chicken parmy, which I really like. She goes, oh, do you want some chicken parmy? So I'm having a chicken parmy. She goes, let's go halves and that. And she ordered like a chowder or something. Hmm. Well, I've saved half the parmy.
Yeah.
And she smashed the chowder because she liked it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, then if she orders something and she doesn't like it, I've got to eat three quarters of that meal and she eats my nice meal.
Yeah, I get that.
This happens to you, doesn't it, Anthony?
Well, I mean, we've got this mate of ours who's an absolute toss, and he's kind of a fringe mate. You know what I mean? You would say he's in the Q Cup. He's not an NRL level mate. He's a Q Cup level mate. He'll say, "Let's go to so and so restaurant," and then he wants to order. Let's get a dish of this, a dish of that, one of these, and one. I mean, I don't like that at all. I just like to have my, you know what I mean?
Mm. Like, if you go to Chinese, everybody gets to order a dish.
Yeah.
And then you can eat your favourite dish and taste somebody else's. Mm. That's what I, yeah.
I'm at the Chinese, I like to get the prawn cutlets or the Sang Shui Bao, or what we had in the virtual corporate box the other night, a prawn cocktail. Mm. Fan bloody tastic.
I thought you used to like a Honey King prawn too.
I don't mind a Honey King prawn. Mm.
Oh.
Have you got anything to add to
a
this
pancake? I have, Anthony. Mm. This is a perfect segue into my BS, because I want to call BS on the shutdown of the Sydney institution, the Golden Century Chinese restaurant on Dixon Street. Mm. This joint, we saw one of Sydney's Mr. Biggs pass away this week. Nettie Smith has died. He used to dine there. Roger Rogerson used to dine there. Sporting luminaries have always dined there. Politicians, you name it. Everybody's got a story from the Golden Century. I even know one bloke, Anthony, who had a big day at Randwick one day, was either the Epsom or the Doncaster.
Right.
Went all up the Doncaster Hotel, all up the Golden Century after that, and ended up in the lobster tank.
Fair. In the lobster tank.
In the lobster
tank. How did he end up in the lobster tank?
Well, he just decided he wanted to dive in and pick his lobster out.
do we have a name for this?
No, we won't.
Do we have some? Can you steer us down the path?
He's a rugby league identity.
Right. Mm. Okay. So. Colourful?
No, not that colourful. But entertaining character nonetheless.
Did he play for more than one club?
No, he didn't.
He only played for one club.
What colours were his club?
Come on, what colours? We're starting to get a little bit close to home now. Yeah, red, white and blue.
Okay. Right. Okay. Wow. Now,
mate, I can Brian Fletcher's twos on.
Wasn't Brian with a Y, I can confirm. Wasn't Brian with a Y. Yeah.
All right. Well, mate, you can't call.
You used to go there a lot, didn't you, Anthony?
I did go back.
When South Barbecue King, it's gone too.
Yeah, it's tragic.
I know. Yeah. Where do you go for good Chinese food these days?
Well, this is what Star Buffet at Bankstown RSL. Star Buffet at Bankstown.
Fault.
Thanks, Theon. You're not allowed in out there at the moment.
Yeah, but at the moment you're not, mate. Mm. At the moment
you're not. You've got to earn there. Don't tell us you go there.
Well, you wouldn't go to Chinese at South Sydney.
No, all the juniors
are
good as well.
The Chinese at South Sydney used to go.
I'll tell you what happened. Mate. Now, after South won the 81 Midweek Cup, and we used to have Chinese, as you know, after South won, the old man said, no, it's too late to go out. Tomorrow night, might have been the Friday night, where we went to Flanagan's Afloat, which was a floating restaurant down there near Catalina.
Yes.
Chinese food. And, mate, that was so flash. That was on board the ferry. I mean, admittedly, it was moored to the dock.
It didn't leave the dock.
Bubble gum
shrimp.
Was still floating, Gordy. So
I think my mum got seasick. That might have been the two bottles of Spumante. Anyway, Paul, we'll see you tomorrow night on NRL 360.
So, yeah.
And we've got Flavour of the Month's James Graham about to come in as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy. The Sunday Sin Bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.